I'm glad he called my name. Don't get me started. A lot I could say about that. Amen. Bless you, brother.
Lord, let me hear again today from the family. I love you.
We love you, brother.
Just can't sleep no more.
Amen. Bless you, God. Amen. Amen. We love you, brother. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Amen. Well, this is a special weekend, as you know. It's Memorial Day weekend. It is tomorrow will be Memorial Day. The word memorial, of course, means a time of remembrance. It's a time that we remember those who gave everything that they had, their lives, that we might be free. It's a sad thing that death is something that seems to be required to obtain freedom. Took the death of the Lord Jesus Christ to set us free, did it not? Amen. Why? He paid our debt. Reconciled us to God. Amen. And He set us free as a result. Amen. Amen. How many we have here that have served in the service one form or another? Stand up, if you will. I know Brother Larry did over here. Anyone else? Brother Gary did. We're getting fewer and fewer. Amen. We are. We're getting fewer and fewer. Amen. God bless y'all. We love you. We appreciate you so much. Amen. I remember the summer of 1967. That was the year that I graduated high school. I was called immediately to go to Atlanta, Georgia, by the Army to have my physical, to be drafted. I was classified 1A, which means that you're prime for picking. Amen. And so I knew that it was inevitable, and Vietnam was boiling heavy now. You were in Vietnam, weren't you? My best friend Jack Taylor was in Vietnam. Brother Danny, I think he was in Iraq, wasn't he? I think he was in Iraq. Amen. And so Uncle Sam was after me. Well, I didn't mind serving my country. My dad was Air Force. I was very familiar with it. So I went down to Macon, Georgia to take the exam to join the Air Force. And I scored good on that. They A-OK'd me and said, pack your bags. A couple hours later, they called me back and said, we can't take you. What? I thought y'all take anybody. They said, well, they found out from the draft board that I had a history of asthma. And the Air Force wouldn't take me. Other than that, I would have been in the Air Force. What happened after that, I have no idea. There's two things in my life that I reflect back on and I wonder what would have happened to me had those went a different direction. Number one, what would have happened to me had I went into the Air Force? At that time, I was involved in music a lot, rock and roll music, and I played on Air Force bases a lot. Of course, alcohol was bad in the military. My daddy was an alcoholic. I wondered what would have happened to me. Second thing, what would have happened if my stepdad hadn't come along? He was the Air Force man. For everything that I learned about being a man, I learned from him. I wonder what had he not come along, what would have become of me? But you know what? It's obvious that God knew all these things. And that as I look back, I can see God's hand in my life. And I know that you can in yours also. But we thank God for you men here. And of course, there are thousands and thousands more. And many crosses in cemeteries, veteran cemeteries, for those who gave the supreme price for us. Amen. So I pray that you have a good Memorial Day. It's a time of gathering of families, but I pray that you will not forget what it took. See, our nation's forgetting and forgetting rapidly. I found this poem. I want to read it to you this Memorial Day. It's called A Mother's Tear. a mother's tear. There's more to the story than what just appears. A war-written story from blood, sweat, and tears. My son went to war a very proud man. He fought in Iraq in the hot desert sand. He witnessed his buddies, his comrades, his men, bleeding and dying. He witnessed their end. Where is Private Tommy? He's blown up all around. His comrades spent hours picking him from the ground. Sleeping in holes dug in the sand, dreaming of home, but it's become foreign land. He can't tell his enemy from family or foe as he watches his friends sent out with tags on their toe. He knows his mama is sleepless like him. He tries to send word whenever he can. He tries not to worry his family at home. The horror that he faces alone. His mission is over. He's sent back to me. He fought for our freedom, but he'll never be free. He yearns for his buddies that died over there. He's caught with the living in a double loop snare. He screams in the night, for the battle still roars. As he lays in his bed, he relives all the horror. Nobody hears the fight he still fights, except for his mama. Who comforts him every night. He never will be the son I once knew. The war killed that heart for freedom for you. Great nation, great leaders, and all those who will hear, freedom begins on a mother's first tear. Now, I know that to be real. I was a firefighter 30 years. We were involved in a lot of medical stuff. How many times I was called out in the middle of the night for a body in a ditch, in the bushes. We would go and there would be a man lying in the bushes, the ditch. He would appear as though he was dead. We would check him out, shake him. He would come around. We would sit him up. We'd ask him what he's doing there. One of the first things they would normally tell us was about being a vet, that they were a vet. They were afraid they were being arrested. All kinds of things. But I saw in them the mental scars that were left from war. You see, you can go fight the war, but the war's never over. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of a man, if you're old as me, you probably saw him in a Western, named Audie Murphy. He's a little fella, but he was the most decorated hero in World War II. Now, if you've ever read anything about his life, you'll know that he suffered these nightmares and dreams that this lady wrote about her son. He never got over the war and the things that he experienced. You see, when war breaks out, sad to say, normally by some evil dictator or by our own politicians, it's hard to tell the difference sometimes, we send the youngest that we have, 18-year-olds. That's how old I was when they were after me. If they drafted you, it was probably around that time, wasn't it, Brother Larry? Those that did not join. Our youngest of men. One of my best friends at the fire department. We called each other Whitey. We both had blonde hair before ours turned gray. We called each other Whitey. And he'd never been away from the Mississippi Gulf Coast. He'd never been anywhere. And he was drafted. He went to Vietnam and he went to Germany. And he would talk about those times and how fearful he was and the things that he experienced. A bomb went off one night right outside his tent, lifted him out of the bunk, and he landed on the floor. So many things we could talk about. Memorial Day is about reminding ourselves, reminding our families, reminding our children. They're probably not going to get that in school. They may get it in other places. They are not aware of the blood that was shed for their freedom, for our flag, that they might have the freedom to burn that same flag in the street. And because of that, we are living in an unthankful nation.
Amen.
God help us. God help us. And I want us to pray this morning. I'm going to lead us in prayer. And there are a lot of things that we could pray for, but I think this would be a good day for us to unite our hearts in prayer for our nation, the United States of America. Our children are ignorant because they're not being taught the realities of how this nation came about and what it took to sustain it. Our forefathers didn't think it would last over 20 years. That's how much they knew about men. Amen. What a tragedy and what a shame. And so today we need to pray for our nation. Amen. And pray hard. And we need to pray for it every time that we pray. But while we're here today thinking about our loved ones who fought, our loved ones who died. How many of you ever heard of the Sullivan brothers? They all died on one ship in World War II. What a shame. They were all from the same place. Guess where that was? Sullivan's Hollow, Mississippi. Know right where it is. For that reason, they will not ship two brothers anymore to the same location or place. We wouldn't even allow brothers to work on the same shift at the fire department. Amen. We forget these things. We don't pass these things on. And so our children are just not aware. And they cannot come to a full appreciation of the freedom we have as Americans. Amen. And it's easy for me to understand why people are flooding across our border at the south of our nation. I'm not agreeing with everything that is going on over there, but I believe if I was in their boots, I'd probably want to get here too, wouldn't you? Our young people are not educated about what it took to secure our land, provide our freedom, and so they don't appreciate it. But those who don't have freedom living outside of this country will swim through the currents of a deep river to try to get here, and many have drowned and been trafficked. Those things need to be heard. Those things need to be taught. They need to be understood. Amen. While America is still worth fighting for. Amen. If you will, stand quickly. I'm going to lead us in prayer before God for our nation. Amen. Thank you for coming. Our Father, there are so many things that we could thank you for this morning. For loving us, for saving us, for writing our names in heaven and giving us a hope that's eternal. So many things we could go on and on about. But this morning we want to give you a particular special thanks. That we were born, that we were raised, that we grew up in a place called the United States of America. I have lived through the freest years of this country. As a young boy, as a young man, I could ride my bicycle all over the Gulf Coast. Mama didn't have to worry about somebody snatching me up or somebody causing harm to me. Those are the days you allowed me to live in as a child. Sadly, those days are gone. We have to guard our children like a mother hen guards her chicks. Because there's evil all around us and lawlessness abounds. Because we've come to a place in the United States of America where every sin that you condemn in the Bible and that you condemned Israel for is not only everywhere in our nation, but it is being accepted and condoned in our nation. Because of that, we know that you are turning your back on us, who were once mightily used of you. We see churches forsaking sound doctrine and the morals of the Bible. We see churches being emptied, people not understanding and realizing the significance how this land was established and fought for. God, forgive us. Thank you, God, for every man, woman that fought for us since we became a nation. Lost more soldiers in the Civil War than any other battle. World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam. The things that we're facing today that now involve nuclear weapons. When we consider the state of the United States today, with the poor leadership that we have to tremble and wonder, what does tomorrow hold? And that would be a very difficult thing if we did not know who holds tomorrow.
Yes.
So our Father, this day, as your people in the house of God, we repent. We repent of our slackness. We repent of our neglect of the house of God, of the things of God, and the freedom that we so much take for granted today. Forgive us. Create in us a new heart of patriotism and dedication to fight, to stand, to speak up for the righteousness of God revealed in His people and in His Son. Turn us, O God, for that's the only way we'll ever be turned. Draw us back from the beaches, the golf courses, the lakes, the places of entertainment. Bring us back to the house of God. Let us give thanks and let us remember what you've done for us, and set a course in our lives that will be the course that you would have us to follow. Thank you for these that have come, these that have served, these that have prayed for their children who fought and served this nation. We thank you for giving us the best of the best in nation and in time. Thank you for allowing us to live in this age in which we live. And we pray that God will be found faithful as we live every day looking for the Lord Jesus to come. The Bible commands us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Yes.
So we look over there today. We see that everything is in place just according to how the Bible said it would be. So help us now as a people not to give up, but yet to prepare for the coming of the Lord and stand for you in these last days. That which you do for us, with us, through us, we will ever thank you, for we ask it in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen and amen. God bless you for that prayer with us this morning. Now open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter 40. We're not going to get very far this morning, are we? Being it's Memorial Day and we have done these things, but that's all right. Why? Because we'll be back here next Sunday, won't we? Now let me make this announcement before I forget it, because I've already forgot it. Next Sunday will be a special day. Brother Tim Martin from Rock of Ages Prison Ministry will be with us. You that have been around here any time, you know him, you're aware of him. He's going to preach for us He's a fine young man, a fine preacher, and I mean, I love him to death and thank God for his work and his ministry in the prisons. We will be having dinner on the grounds that day, so don't overload your breakfast and don't prepare anything for dinner. Prepare to stay with us. We will have much food. Amen. We always do more than we need. But not only that, we will not have Sunday school next Sunday, but we will begin our services at 10:30. Because you ladies will be preparing stuff. Hopefully you know what I like, and I look forward to eating it today. Amen. It's always good, and we're going to enjoy it. So you remember this special day. Tell everyone that's not here, remind them that we will be meeting at 10:30. I know that we'll sing to 11, so at least they'll be here then. But you plan on being here now. But not only that, you plan to stay in fellowship with us after the service. Amen. We grow together as we fellowship. Isaiah chapter 40. Now we're preaching a series of messages on voices from unexpected places. Voices from unexpected places. We've talked about voices from animals. We've talked about voices from the grave. We've been talking about voices from the wilderness. And we're going to conclude our final message today on voices from the wilderness. We've talked about the voice from the wilderness of sin, the voice from the wilderness of surrender. Now we're going to talk about the voice from the wilderness of salvation. Hallelujah. Now let me remind you before we begin this morning of what the wilderness represents in the Bible. The wilderness experience that's revealed in the experience of Israel and other places in the Old Testament represents the time and the place where God found you until God brings you to the place that He wants you to be. Wilderness is a place of your experiences with God in preparation for you to become what He wants you to be. Now, the objective of the children of Israel was to enter the land of Canaan. Now, we equate Canaan with heaven a lot of times, don't we? We sing the song, "To Canaan's land, I'm on my way." Why? Where the soul never dies, amen. We're thinking about heaven. But Canaan is not a picture of heaven. Canaan is a picture of the victorious Christian life. Why is it not heaven? Because when they entered the land of Canaan, they had to fight many battles to obtain and secure the land. If you want to see an Old Testament picture of heaven, then look at the kingdom under David. David was the only king under which the nation of Israel was united. It was under Solomon, not because of Solomon, but because of David. Amen. And so the wilderness experience was where the children of Israel were fed by God. They were led by God. They beheld the miracles of God, the things that He did. They established a relationship with God through His Word. Amen. And when God first saves us, when He first saved me, I knew very little about God. But as I got in church, as I began to read the Word of God, God began to reveal truth to me. I learned more about Him. As I walked with Him, I experienced the obstacles that I experienced. I experienced the failures that I experienced. I learned more and more about God that were all serving the purpose of preparing me to be usable by God on the day that I faced the giants. Amen. Now, if you read the book of Isaiah, where we're at is Isaiah chapter 40. That is a division point in the book of Isaiah. If you read the first 39 chapters, Isaiah is an interesting book. You don't want to get me sidetracked, but I'm prone to. How many Old Testament books are there? 39. How many New Testament? 26. That's exact chapters in Isaiah. Now notice the division. If you read Isaiah chapter 1 through 39, you'll find that it is all about judgment and woe. Literally, you could say it this way. It is all about bad things, bad news. God exposing the sin of not only His people, but of the Gentile world, and the judgment that He is going to execute upon them because of their sin. And He forecasts that Israel is going to lose possession of their land. They will be scattered. Now that's bad news to a Jew. Back then, any time. Amen? But thank God, that's not the end of the story. Because in Isaiah chapter 40 through the end of the chapter, the theme of the book changes and it moves to a theme of salvation. It moves to what we might call the gospel. What is the gospel? What does it mean? It means good news. Hallelujah. So we see a turning point. And what do we see immediately as that turning point of salvation arises? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. He's talked about all these bad things. Now look at verse 1. What does he say? Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak comfortably. Now that's significant. I mean, he's been preaching hellfire and brimstone up to this point. And now he tells Isaiah to do what? Speak comfortably to my people. Amen. Unto Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Now, that's what we're talking about in the wilderness and the process to Canaan. Amen. Her warfare is accomplished. Now I like this next part. That her iniquity is pardoned. Now notice why their iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. What was the old expression not too many years ago, that sin will take you where you don't want to go, it will take you farther than you want to go, and it will cost you more than you want to pay? Friend, they paid double for their sin. Why? They were God's people. He condemned and he judged the Gentile nations, but he expected better out of his people. Amen? I've always expected more out of Christian people on the job or wherever I was. Oftentimes, believe it or not, that got me in trouble. Amen. And so he's speaking comfortably. And the good news is their iniquity is pardoned. Why? Because their sin is paid for. Glory to God. You know why I can be forgiven of my sin today? Do you know that why I, a sinner, could be accepted by a holy, righteous God today? Because my sin has been paid for. Amen. But thank God it was paid for in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, when He died on that cross for me. Friend, that's the only reason God will accept me. That's the only reason He'll accept you. Hallelujah. Thank God for it. That's the good news, is it not? Now, notice as we change verse number 3. He begins to become, to speak as what he is, a prophet. Talk about the future. The voice, in verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Do you see that? The voice of him that cries. Where? What are we talking about here? We're talking about voices in the wilderness. Where is the voice? It's in the wilderness. Why is it in the wilderness? That's where the people are in trouble. Amen? Amen. Why? Because people are prone, when they get separated from God, to wander back into the wilderness. Amen. He's crying in the wilderness. That's an interesting word, cry. You know what? It's a picture language. You know what it pictures? Somebody who goes up to another individual and he grabs him. And he speaks loud in his face and gives him a message. So when he says he cries, he's not crying tears with this message, but he's trying to get people's attention to listen to him. And what is that message? That they are about to meet God. God is about to show up in their presence. Amen. Do you ever stop to think that when the temple was destroyed, Solomon's temple, the Shekinah glory was never ever seen again? When they rebuilt the temple after the return from Babylon, there was no Shekinah glory in that temple like Solomon's temple. There was not even an Ark of the Covenant in that temple. And ever since Solomon's temple was destroyed, the Jewish people have never had the religion and faith that God intended them to have. But he said there's some good news. Some good news. What is it? The Lord's coming. Now, if we know the Lord's coming, let's say he's coming to have dinner with you, you probably wouldn't be here. You know why? You'd be at the house preparing for his coming. So here's the simple message that he's talking about. The Lord is coming. And if the Lord is coming, it's important for you to prepare. Yeah. Amen? That's the prophecy. Now flip over in your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 3. We're going to read about the fulfillment of the prophecy that we just read in Isaiah chapter 40. Matthew chapter number 3. I want you to notice the parallel here. Matthew 3, verse number 1. The Bible says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the... What's the next word? What are we preaching about? Voices in the wilderness. Preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, that's Isaiah in the Old Testament, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, look now, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you? Now, where is John preaching? He's preaching in the wilderness. Where do these individuals come from? Jerusalem, Judea. You see, he ain't preaching there. He's asking them, who warned you? Now notice what the warning is. Who warned you? Look, to flee the wrath to come. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, because this was their religion, we are children of Abraham, therefore we are accepted with God. Look what he said. Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto what? This is important. Repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Amen. So we see that the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah was not about himself. That's the way that it would have been received in Isaiah's day, that he was talking about himself. But because of what we know and what's revealed in the New Testament, he wasn't talking about himself, but he was talking about John the Baptist. Amen. That's what we learn from the scripture here that we just read. So we learn the purpose and the reason that John came. What was it? To prepare the way of the Lord. Now, I believe it was Amos who said that God, the Lord, will not do anything without telling his prophets. You see, before God moves in judgment, God always sends a warning. You let a nation fall into sin and corruption like ours has fallen today, God sends a warning. You are receiving a warning today. Anybody who might be watching over Facebook today, you are receiving a warning that God does not overlook sin. God will judge sin and God will save from sin. Amen. And it falls upon us to understand that. Amen. And so we need to understand something, that if we forget God, that if we forsake God as a nation, as a church, as an individual, we can only look for one thing to come to our door, my friend, and that is the judgment of Almighty God. Now, since he makes it clear and makes it plain that the Lord is coming, one of two things is going to happen. Man's either going to ignore the warning, continue in his sin and die in his sin, or he is going to heed the warning, repent of his sin, and be saved by God Almighty. That's the options. That's the options. Amen. And so, you see, Jesus was coming. The Bible says in the book of Galatians that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. You think it was an accident that Jesus came when he came? No, it's all a part of the foreordained plan of God. Amen. That's what he meant when he said in the fullness of time, at just the right time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman made under the law. Actually, I think that was the opposite. Made of a woman and born under the law. Amen. Huh? And now, understand this. God does everything that he possibly can that an individual might be saved. And so, to prepare the people, to get their attention, God sent forth what I call the forerunner. Now there are two people in the Bible. John is never called a forerunner, but he is called one who goes before the Lord. Now in English we would call that a forerunner. The book of Hebrews teaches that Jesus was our forerunner. John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so God sent John to warn the people, to prepare them, to make them aware that the Lord was coming. Whew. Amen. Now, I think that's a pretty important job, don't you? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Forerunner. Preparing the people. Now, if God sent John as a forerunner to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord, to make a highway for our God, to make His path straight. What does that mean? Not hard to find, not hard to see. Amen. Much like an interstate, it just goes on and on forever. Amen. If God sent forth the forerunner to prepare His people, then friend, they should have known Him when He came. Is that not right? But sadly, John's Gospel chapter 1 says this, verse 11. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Amen. Amen. People of God, you don't realize how important you are today to our nation, our people, our families. It is only the people of God that keeps the wrath of God off of our nation. Amen. And we need to understand, amen, that we are to let this world know, to let our nation know. Doesn't matter what the president says. It doesn't matter what Congress law passes. Doesn't matter what the Supreme Court places their approval upon. What matters is what God Almighty has said.
Amen.
And people want to argue today and say, well, the Bible says that we're to be subject to the government. All the Bible means like that about that is that we as the people of God are to behave.
Yeah.
That's what it means. But when this country, this world, the laws of this nation, the Supreme Court declares something to be all right and legitimate that God has condemned as an abomination, then friend, we do not have to accept it. And even though abortion may be considered a legal option in our nation, it is not an option for God's people. And we need to understand and warn this world that, my friend, God will judge and require the blood of our hands for the innocent that have been slain in America. That Supreme Court Justice, I can't remember his name, he's already gone off to meet God. He could have stopped that. He's in hell today with the blood pouring off of his hands of over 60 million murdered babies. And the result of not appreciating the value of life is lawlessness. I'm 73 years old. I've never seen such a lawless time where you are not safe anywhere, such as it is today. How sad. But my friend, it is the result of our own sin in forgetting God and not preparing the coming generation to deal with the coming of the Lord. God help us. I haven't even started our message because we don't have time. But I hope that I've said enough for you to understand this day. Jesus Christ came over 2,000 years ago. That's my message of salvation. But there's another part of that message. He's coming again. You don't know the influence that had upon me getting saved when I found out He was coming back again. Now, what did John say to those that came out from Jerusalem? He said, "Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" You see, Jesus came the first time in salvation to seek and to save lost sinners like me. But friend, when He comes back, He's coming back in judgment. And friend, irregardless of what many religions believe today, many Christian institutions, the world is not going to get better and better. The gospel is not going to triumph and turn this world into a utopia. It's going to get worse and worse and worse until God has no option except to come in judgment.
Amen.
And He said that He would. And He tells us how He's going to do it. Amen. So we leave today thanking God. Thanking God for allowing us to live. in what was once known as a Christian nation. I can take you back to court cases a little over 100 years old where judges sitting behind a bench said this, declared this, that America was a Christian nation. Now, they won't say that today, will they? It's not, what's that word they use today? Woke. Ain't it funny that those that we describe as woke today really are people who are asleep? Yep. They're absolutely ignorant of what's going to happen if we continue in the way that we keep going. Amen. Thank God for people that's willing to fight. Amen. Amen. We need to oppose this world system. We don't do it with bricks and sticks and bombs and bullets. We do it by being right with God and declaring to the rest of the world, you need to get right with God, and there's a way you can be right with God. Jesus died for you and your sins, and He'll accept you today because of the price that was paid for your sins. God bless you. We'll continue this message one day. Don't forget next week, the service that we're going to have. Look forward to it. Amen. Bring somebody with you. Come to fellowship. Let's have a good time as God's people. Amen. Amen. Heard people say, well, if I become a Christian, I won't have no fun no more. Boy, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. I found out a lot of stuff that I thought was fun was nothing but trouble. And got me in trouble, amen. So don't forget and come, amen. Miss Brandy, will you come? Is Hayward in here? Oh, there he is. You get smaller every day. You're losing weight, Hayward. I didn't see you over there. Let's stand together, let's sing, and let's praise the Lord. For God is good. Aren't you glad that the Bible is not just a book about condemnation, but it is a book about salvation? Amen. Hallelujah. God's still in the saving business. Amen. What number, brother?